Hello everyone, you welcome to a brand new series on This and That called Stretch Marks. Stretch marks are inevitable, we all have them, so why hide yours? In this series we delve into marks that comes from stretching. I really hope you do enjoy listening.
So, I'm going to start today's episode with a question. I want to know how many of us made goals in the beginning of the year. Like, if you made a goal in the beginning of the year, let me just smile. I can't see you, so just smile. We are in September now. How many of those goals have you been able to accomplish? That's fine. Don't be too hard on yourself. It's fine. How many of us made goals last year? Okay, so the year is still not up to an end, so like I don't want to judge you. So how many of us made goals last year, and how many of those goals, like, you know, were you able to like really accomplish? I'm just asking. Okay, I'm not judging, I'm not hating, I'm just asking. And you know, to the first question, I made goals, and some of us, I know I'm not the only one, so I'll say some of us in the beginning of every year we make what we call stretch goals. And stretch goals are simply goals that, you know, take you from where you are currently to like the next level. Okay, so it's like stretch goals, they displace you, for a matter of fact. It's like, yeah, some of us make what we call the stretch goals. And one thing I've come to realize and I've come to know, and it's truth actually, is that for God to take you from where you are to where you are going, he needs to stretch you. So that is what I mean by some of us make stretch goals that, okay, I want to be here by the end of the year, health-wise, relationship-wise, or in other aspect of our lives. So I've come to realize that for God to take you where he wants to take you or where we are going, he needs to stretch us. I want to ask a question. How many of us really hate pop quizzes? Like pop quizzes, okay? Like random quizzes. A teacher just walks in the class and then just goes up like, or everyone just pick pieces of papers or just start sharing questions. How many of you just honestly hate pop quizzes? I am one, okay. Although yes, I teach, I love to do that. But if I'm sitting in the student seat, I hate that a lot. It's like, I know that I have planners here on This and That. It's like, and when I say planners, I mean people that can say, on the 29th of this month, I'm going to go to the mall at 11 a.m. I'm going to walk into 11 stores and buy 6 clothes, and I know the middle one is going to be on sale, and I'm going to get it. Like, that is the kind of planners I'm talking about. I have planners here on This and That. And normally, I'm somewhere a little bit planner. Normally, what planners hate is spontaneity. Like, we are spontaneity freaks. We hate just pop quizzes. We hate random stuff. It's like, you don't just pick up phone and call me at 2 p.m. that meet me here. No. It wasn't part of the plan. Same with pop quizzes. Like, when we draw an academic calendar, I know I have a mid-semester exam to write. I know I have an end of semester or an end of year exam to write. But pop quizzes, yo, like, it's not really on the schedule. It's not on the plan. So, where from that? So, I hate pop quizzes. Like, it's just not. And I know I'm not alone in this. Like, I'm not alone in this at all. So, planners hate pop quizzes, and the way the human body is wired and the way we are made, we are all made planners. It's like, that is why we think, that is why we make plans, because we are made planners in our own accord. But one thing we need to do is that when God wants to take you, as I said, from where you are right now to where you are going, he needs to stretch you. And the stretch that I'm talking about today is test. T-E-S-T. Test. We all hate pop quizzes, like pop tests, we hate it. But that is what God uses. I'm going to read a portion of scripture that is very interesting to me. Actually, I'm going to read two passages in scripture, and I've not read it together before, but I just hope it makes sense, and we'll see what God will talk to us. So I'm going to read a passage in scripture, the book of Matthew. Yes, Matthew chapter 8. Let me start from the verse number 20. Let me see, I just want it to be quick, so let me start from verse 23. Yes, then Jesus got into the boat and started across the lake with his disciples. Verse 29, suddenly a fierce storm struck the lake, the waves breaking into the boat, but Jesus was asleep. The disciples went and woke him up, shouting, Lord, save us. We are going to drown. Like, amen. That is the end of the scripture. Like, just like that. So, the next one, I'll read it in the course of the podcast. That is also in the same book of Matthew. One thing you notice is that Jesus just got into the boat and started across the lake. It's like, if you look at the verse 22, okay? The verse 22 said that Jesus said unto them, follow me and let the dead bury their dead. It's like he was talking to people who wanted to follow him and then were making up excuses. And all of a sudden, Jesus just goes to sit in a boat and start going away. Like, yo, please, master, that was not in my plan. But these were disciples. It means that they are ready to dedicate their whole life. They know what they are doing. You get it? So let me just ask him, okay, yeah, that is fine. But some of us, it wouldn't really be fine. If you want to take me somewhere, just give me a notice. That not being a problem. So Jesus got into the boat and he started across the lake with his disciples. And the verse 24 says that suddenly a storm came on the lake, okay? And mind you, this is not a sea. So if it is a sea, you know, like the waves, you'll be familiar with like a storm, you get it? But this is a lake and there was a storm in the lake. Isn't that interesting? Having a storm in a lake, yo, like, wow. Okay, so there was a storm in the lake with the waves breaking into the boat. But Jesus was doing something that is so spiritual, something that gives me so much joy, something that makes me know that I am not sinning, something that proves to me that I my doctrines are right and my life, my way of life is right. Jesus was taking a nap. Yeah, like, yeah, Jesus was taking a nap. He was sleeping. And I love to sleep. And sometimes people want to make us feel bad that, yo, sleeping is up. But this is Jesus. You know, after he messed up their plans that, okay, let's just go across the lake, he just comes and on the boat, he's sleeping. Like, well, you just mess up my plans and now you want to leave me hanging? Like, you know, just imagine this way. Your friend calls you, let's go out on a, let's go and eat. And then the moment you get to a restaurant, your friend is missing. You are now left there alone. You go to check and your friend is in the washroom sleeping. Like, just, you know, sometimes we want to sanitize the story, but just look at how it's going to feel like. You said we should go across the, and Jesus, you are sleeping. Anyways, I love to sleep, so it's not, I won't really go deeper into it because I may end up talking against my own self. So Jesus Christ is sleeping, and mind you, there was a storm. And I don't know a lot about water and how it works, but I know that if the Bible says the waves were breaking into the boat, it means that the storm was thunderous. It's like it was a big deal that if you were on the boat, you should hear. But Jesus Christ was still sleeping. Some of the translation, like some of the versions even says that he was sleeping on a pillow. You know, if someone is taking a nap, I don't want to argue that, yeah, naps are way better than sleeps, okay? You can argue with your keyboard. Maybe you can start a conversation. But naps, you see, like those sleeps you have in between, you know, busy schedules, it's nicer. And some versions say that Jesus Christ was sleeping on a pillow. Ooh. It means it was super, super nice. And he was gone. He was asleep. He was taking a nap. He messed up their plans. And, you know, he was just sleeping. There was storm. He was still sleeping. Just imagine. You spoil my plans. We are headed somewhere. There's an issue and you know where to be found. He's sleeping. The verse 25 says that the disciples went and woke him up. It means that he was not even sleeping in plain sight. They had to go and look for him. And when they got to him, they shouted, oh God, like that's so interesting. Like, that's so interesting. He was still sleeping. And as a naturally caffeinated person like me, that, you know, nap is my only coffee. So I understand when someone tries to mess up your sleep. I know how it feels. But they had to, Jesus Christ was sleeping, okay? They had to just go and just wake him up. But if you look at the chapter 23, if you look at verse 23, it says that Jesus Christ got into the boat and started across the lake with his disciples. So it means that they had a destination that they were going to the other side, okay? I feel like they went to wake Jesus Christ up because they forgot that he was the same person that said they were going to the other side of the lake. And as a deep Christian as I am, when God says something, I know that regardless of whatever storm I'm passing through, it is just going to work out, okay? It's just going to work out. Like, I don't have to even fret. Like, it's just going to work out. If Jesus is in my boat, I dare you. Yes, I may be afraid, but I wouldn't disturb him, because you said it. He said they were going to go to the other side, but they went to wake him up because they forgot. Like, they forgot. And this was a test, you know. This was a test that Jesus Christ was testing them for. And when we look at the next few chapters that we're going to read, you realize that, yeah, this was a test. He was on the boat. He gave them a word that we are going across the lake. But then he went to take a nap, which is a very spiritual thing that I love to do. And now the storm comes. The disciples fret. They now go to wake him up, forgetting that he told them we're going to get there. And that was their storm. That was their test. That was their stretching. Someone may ask himself that, ooh, Jesus Christ is sleeping on the boat in the middle of a storm. That is so unlike a person who cares. But one thing you need to notice is that he gave them a word that we are going to the other side. Finally, they went to, you know, wake Jesus Christ up, and he was still sleeping, actually. When they woke him up, just look at some of the words he said. Let's look at what Jesus Christ said when he woke him up. I think it's in the verse 26. He said, he replied, "You of little faith, why are you so afraid?" Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. Like, just look at this. His disciples went to wake him up, and when he woke up, the first words he said was, "You of little faith, why are you so afraid?" Like, Jesus Christ, hold up. We are in the middle of a storm, in the middle of a lake, and you said we have little faith. It means that we need to take God's word for it, that he gave them an assurance that we will get to the other side. But then, there is problem. As a disciple, as I am, I just come to wake you up that, God, don't you care? We are going to drown. Lord, save us. It's like, I come talk. But when he woke up, he just said that, "You of little faith, why are you afraid?" Then look at the interesting thing he did. He says, then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. Like, whoa. This was their test. They couldn't answer the test. They called Jesus Christ. He came. He got up, and then he just rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. Look at the interesting thing these men did. The verse 27 says that, the men were amazed and asked, "What kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him." That is an interesting point. But the thing is, this was their test. God was trying to stretch them, okay? But one thing you need to know in life is that when you are presented with a test, you don't leave with questions. Whoa, that is a good point. I'm going to repeat that. When life presents you with a test, you don't leave with questions. I know it's a question because the next verse doesn't answer. The next verse doesn't tell us that they asked themselves the question and then answered. It says the men were amazed and asked, "What kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him." That is it. The next verse says that when he arrived at the other side in the region of the Gadarenes, it's like now it's just a whole new topic. A different miracle on its own. So they left the test with a question. Not even just one question, but they left the test with questions. God always wants us to leave our test or our stretch with answers. And the interesting thing is that when they ask the question, normally when the disciples were with Jesus Christ, when they ask questions, he answers them. But you know, there are times that someone asks you a question and you're like, I'm just going to note it. That's what Jesus Christ did to them in the verse in chapter 8. He just notes it. It's like, And then he just goes, heals the man possessed with a demon. He didn't forget. And believe you me, he didn't forget. But he just knows. It's like, you know, there are times someone says something to you. You just hear them, you observe and be like, I won't forget. I'm going to give you a response later. But right now, let me just focus on my work. So that was what happened with Jesus Christ. He didn't forget. I know he didn't forget because 6 chapters later, we are now in chapter 8. 6 chapters later, that is in chapter 14, after the feeding of the 5,000. Look at the interesting thing Jesus Christ did. chapter 14, verse, let me read from verse 22. It says that immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side, where while he dismissed the crowd. Immediately Jesus made the disciples go into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. So I don't know how well you do with PTSD, okay, but for me, nope. So the very first time in chapter 8, Jesus Christ was with them on a boat. There was a storm. They couldn't do anything about it. They went to wake Jesus Christ up. And now Jesus Christ does one of the biggest miracles, okay, that has ever been recorded in human history. He fed 5,000 people with few fishes and bread. And he just, in the middle of the service, just dismisses the service and then tells the disciples that, just go to the other side of the boat. This time, Jesus Christ didn't even go with them. If it was me, I won't lie to you, if it was me, I am not going anywhere. Trust me. Because in the first part, if Jesus Christ was not on the boat, maybe they may have drowned. Like, yo, just. And this time, you only send me alone. You know one annoying thing about just pop quizzes is like, when you fail a test, which is not even an examination, but a random test, and you have to take the text again. You have to take the test. It's so annoying. It's so heartbreaking. And the sad thing is that the rules for a retake of text is not even the same thing as when everyone else is taking it. The first time Jesus Christ goes with them, the second time he just tells them that just go, why I dismiss the crowd. It's like we are in the middle of service and Jesus Christ just says, okay, closing prayer, disciples, take the lead, out, come. Whoa. And then he just dismissed them. And verse 23 says that after he had dismissed them, he went on the mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone. And the disciples were gone. And these disciples, I think we need to give them more credit. I think we give them less credit than they deserve. Because if six chapters before, you went on a lake and there was a storm, I'm not. You know, I process things easily, but, you know, if something has happened, something terrible has happened, and I see someone, you know, trying to do something, I'm like, no, hold up. Something like this has led to something like this. So just, I'm not afraid, but, you know, just, I'm going to ask questions. But these disciples were very obedient. Like, they were just so obedient. They just went. Jesus went to the mountainside to pray. Verse 24 says that the boat was already a considerable distance from the land. So it means that when the disciples took off on the boat, Jesus Christ went to the mountainside to pray. And the Bible says that he was there all alone. It means that he prayed all through the night and the disciples had taken the lead. Like, they were just gone with the boat, doing their own thing. These disciples are brave, doing their own thing. And the Bible says that the boat was already a considerable distance from the ground. It's like, it means that they are nowhere close to the shore. They are nowhere close to the shore. It's like, you know, it's not like you can see them or they can see what is happening at the shore. They are gone. Okay, they are gone. Like, gone. You know, sometimes you can send someone and they will just be around and then be doing their own thing. But this time, they were gone. Like, gone. They were gone. But something interesting happened again. The same test, they were unable to take it with Jesus in their boat. It comes up again. It says, but the ship was in the middle of the storm, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. So, the little experience I know in boats is that they move with the waves or with the wind, okay? But something happened in the middle of the lake. As they were going, the wind started blowing against them. So, it's like this time it wasn't a storm, but the waves were now blowing up against them. That would be hell. Because this is water. This is not like a vehicle that you can just, you know, step foot on your brake and then just stop for the wind. No, this is water. And they used to have, you know, those flags at the top to redirect them, and now the wind starts blowing up against you. And this time, Jesus Christ is not in a boat. Jesus Christ is not in a boat. And they now have a test, which is a stretch. God wants to give them a stretch. The first time he was there, and he was there sleeping. This time they are there alone. That is an interesting fact. Like, wow. I didn't want to be in their position. We know the end of the story, but just put yourself in the middle of this. I wouldn't want to be in a situation like this. The first time you were there, you were able to come, and now I'm here alone. And I'm not just battling with water, but the wind is up against me. I'm going to give you 3 points in order for you to stretch, in order for you to be able to pass your test. And we would see it with these scriptures combined, that that was what the disciples did. That was why they didn't die. We didn't hear that any of them died by drowning. You get it? So I'm going to give you 3 points. My first point that I have here is that find him in the storm. And when I say him here, I'm referring to Jesus Christ. Find him in the storm. We realize that in chapter 8, he was sleeping. They had to go and look for him in the storm. So regardless of whatever storm you are in, make sure you find Jesus Christ. It's like, if you don't find him, you won't be able to figure things out by yourself. Believe you me, take my word for it. You wouldn't be able to do it at all. Find, in order for you to be able to stretch, in order for you to be able to pass your test of life, in order for you to go through your storm, you need to find God. You need to find Jesus Christ in your storm. Storms are such a way that they're very hectic. They try to take your attention off a lot of things. And it's like, you now can't concentrate. You now can't focus. And you're like, oh, no. Your eyes are just everywhere, all around. But you need to be able to take time, pause, and find God in that storm. Find Jesus Christ in your storm. Even in the same boat, when Jesus Christ was asleep, they had to go and look for him. But let's look at this chapter. The chapter we are in now, the chapter 14. It says that the boat was already far away. The boat was in the middle, tossed with the waves, for the wind was against it. Verse 25 says that shortly before dawn, so this is probably around like 3 a.m., Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. Yo, that... Wow. Yo, forgive me. That is how I read the Bible. It's like, there are times that when I come across a miracle that is mind-boggling, I just take a pause and then try to let that sink in. Like, so, after performing the feeding of the 5,000, okay, he sends the disciples to go, but he was going to pray in the mountains. And shortly before dawn, that is like, let's say around 3 a.m., Jesus Christ comes to them. He is now approaching them, walking on a lake. Just imagine walking on a lake like it's just a cemented or a tiled ground, you know, just casually, like just taking your walk, doing your walk, and whoa, that that is a big deal. Verse 22 says that when the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and they cried out in fear. Wow. And I don't blame the disciples, y'all, because they've been on the water surfing for the whole night, and now it's almost dawn, and all of a sudden you see someone just walking. It's not like the person is even in a boat. You see someone just walking on the water, on a lake. Yeah, I think maybe the first thing that'll come to my mind is a ghost. And they did what I would do best. They shouted. They were terrified. And they cried out in fear. But Jesus Christ did something interesting. He says that, "But Jesus immediately said to them, 'Take courage. It is me. Do not be afraid.'" Like, wow, that. Wow. So Jesus Christ is walking on a lake. They are in the middle of waves against them in their boat. They see Jesus Christ coming. Because he's coming from a distance, doing the unusual, casually, they scream that it is a ghost. And now Jesus Christ tells them to calm down, for it is him. And Peter, I love Peter very much. Like, very, very much. Peter said that, "Lord, if it is you, tell me to come to you on the water." So my first point is that you need to find God. See, when they were in the first storm, they had to go and look for Jesus Christ. And now, as the wind was against them, the Bible doesn't say Jesus Christ went into their boat, but Jesus Christ went for in their sight. But he didn't go into the boat until they saw him and started screaming that it's a ghost. So it means that there are times that Jesus Christ wouldn't even be in your boat. It's like, he would just be like, I'm giving you a stretch. I'm giving you another test. Just go. Just go. Just, you know, just feel at home. Just, you know, take, I'll be back. I'll just return. Just go. And he would be around waiting for you to find him. Listen, for you to be able to go through life, and in order for you to stretch, I have said it, that you need to find him. He may be in it or even outside of it, but you need to find him. They looked and then shouted, "It's a ghost." Then Jesus Christ responded that it is me. And Peter, being the brave man, he said, "Lord, if it is you, just tell me to come and I'll come." That brings me to my second point, that in order for you to stretch, you need to talk to God in the storm. And note my words, you need to talk to God in the storm. In chapter 8, when Jesus Christ was asleep, they didn't go to talk to him. They went to talk at him. Let me prove it to you. Look at the chapter 8. Okay, chapter 8. Let's look at verse 27. No, the verse 25. It says that the disciples went and woke him up, saying, "Lord, save us, we are going to drown." This was not a conversation. They were talking at him. You know, there are times that you can talk to someone and you can talk at someone. It's like you are trying to insinuate something. You are trying to bring them to a point. It's like, are you blind? They talked at Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ didn't respond them. He just said, "You people just have little faith. Why are you so afraid?" They were not having a conversation. Listen, in the middle of the storm, you need to have a conversation with Jesus Christ. I know it's tough, it's hard, but if you look at the second chapter we looked at, this time they did the talking, but it was different from the first one. They talked to Jesus Christ. So you hear Peter say things like, "God, if it is you, just tell me to come," expecting an answer. But when Jesus Christ was sleeping, what they went to him to, they were not expecting an answer. They just said, "Lord, don't you care?" So in order for you to face the storm of life, my second point is that you need to talk to God. There are some of us that we have gotten to a point that now our prayers and lifestyle, okay, has become more like we are talking at God. It's like it has now become more of a complaint. You don't complain to God. Wow. This is going to mess up some of your theologies and your doctrines, but you don't complain to God. You talk to him. And complaints don't expect response. When someone comes to complain to you, they are not expecting you to talk. They just want you to shut up and listen. That is complaint. But when you talk to someone, you want them to talk back to you. So the reason some of us don't get responses to our prayers is that we don't talk to Jesus, or we don't talk to God. We talk at him. It's like we just go rattle our mouths, say whatever thing we want to say, and then we just leave. We don't want him to say anything. We just want him to hear us out. We just want him to hear us out, and we just move away. It's like they were in a storm, but the second part, they talked to him. Peter was like, "God, if it is you, just tell me to come." And Jesus Christ made him come. And that is so interesting. It's like he said, Peter said, "Lord, if it is you, just tell me to come." And Jesus said, "Come." Then Peter got down out of the boat and walked on the water and came toward Jesus. I had someone telling me about how the marine system they work. Okay, like I mean like the navals. When you have a captain in a boat or in a ship, they call you to come in. But this time, Peter did the opposite. He called an outsider to ask permission to step out. So that should tell us that he was talking to him. But if you go to those in the Navy, until you are instructed to come in, you don't come in. But if you look at what Peter did, it's so amazing, so profound. He asked Jesus Christ, "Please, can I step out? If it's really you, please, I want to come." And Jesus Christ said, "Come, come." Then Peter got down out of the boat and he walked on. And you know, it's so amazing. Like, just imagine walking on water like a plain ground because you decided to talk to Jesus Christ this time. It's like, just imagine the storm, the stretch, the test that has been given to you in life, because you spoke to Jesus Christ, or because you chose to talk to Jesus Christ, you're now walking on it like plain ground. Like you are just, you know, just doing your dance. You know, you are just walking casually through it. It's so amazing.
So swam, and this is Peter just walking on the water casually. It was so casual. The verse 30 says something that, you know, normally preachers just, you know, Pentecostal preachers especially, just, you know, stretch it out a little bit. And the verse 30 says that, but when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink. So don't forget that when they were alone, they were being faced with the wind. Okay. It was the wind that was against them. Now they saw Jesus Christ. Peter calls out that, if it is you, please call me to come. Jesus says, come. He walks on the water, but he still feels this. It didn't say the waves or the wind stopped, but now he begins to sense the wind and he begins to sink. And he cried out, Lord, save me. And normally, you know, preachers want us to feel bad, but this was the human Peter just expressing human sentiments. Yes, it was. Sometimes they just go like, don't take your eyes off Jesus. If you, you know, like, just calm down. I'm terrible at mimicking those preachers, for real. I just sometimes wish I could do that. If you take your eyes off Jesus, you wouldn't drown. And it is nowhere in the Bible that Peter was drowning. There's a difference between drowning and sinking. Okay? So, sinking is, let me just use the part of the body, okay? I'm like, sinking is just your legs, like your toes, up your knee, and then up to maybe your waist. Let me just see that as sink. But drowning, when you're drowning, after your neck, you are gone. If some of us were Jesus Christ, we just wait for him to drown, then, you know, bring him up and say that you should have believed in me. But he says when he started sinking, it means when his feet started entering into the water and he cried out, Lord, save me. He says that immediately Jesus reached out his hands and caught him, and he went again, you of little faith, why did you doubt? It means that the human him, as human beings, we doubt about a lot of things, we doubt about a lot of stuff, and, you know, it is normal for humans. But the thing is, when we talk to Jesus Christ, he responds. And then when he responds, it's like, just imagine you talking to a Godhead, a God figure. Like, it's so amazing, it's so interesting that I just wish I'm Peter right now. You speak, you are in a boat with the waves against you. You speak to a man walking on the sea, outside the boat, asking him permission if you can come. He said, yes, you can come. You begin to walk. Now the human you is just, you know, setting. And now you begin to, you know, sink. You cry out and he just saves you like that. That is a good God, y'all. Like, that is even a good part to just pause and give God praise there. Like, yo, God. God is good. Okay, God is so good. And says that Jesus Christ reached out his hand and caught him immediately. And he said, you of little faith. And he said, why did you doubt? The verse 36 says that, and when they climbed to the boat, the wind died down. Whoa. The wind really died down. And it says Peter walked on the water. So it means that Peter moved a distance away from the boat. But when he was coming back with Jesus Christ, don't forget, they had to now walk back to the boat. So my first point is that you need to find God in your storm. The second point is that you need to talk to God. Don't talk at him, but talk to him. You need to talk to him in the storm. My third point is that you need to walk with him. Listen, you plus Jesus equals victory. If you don't walk with him, you see, when he gave the command that come and he was sinking, when we were moving back to the boat before the wind would even die, listen, they walked. So Jesus Christ was not the only person that walked on water. Peter did. Yo, like, yes, Jesus really covered a distance, but Peter also can write it in his book. He can add it to his flags, his emblem on his chest, that I also did walk on water. Yes, he did. He really did walk on water. In order for us to be able to face the storm of life, listen, Moses said something very interesting, that if your presence doesn't go with us, we won't go. It's like, Jesus, if I show you in this, if you're not in this, I'm not going. Peter would have still stayed outside the boat if Jesus had not made an attempt to go into the boat, because he realized that even without Jesus Christ in the boat, we're sinking. Now he has showed forth. The wind has still not died. He has told him to come out of the boat, and I am out with him. It was until Jesus Christ gave the instruction that, yo, let's just move back. Like, let's just go and just go back into the boat. They now walked back to the boat on water. And the Bible says that the moment they got into the boat, the wind died. Now they successfully passed their test. It's like now their faith has been stretched because they were able to do it first time. Jesus in the boat, they barely made it through. The second time, now they have no one to even cry out to directly. They see Jesus cry, they call out to him. They now walk into the boat, the wind dies. I can tell you for a fact that they passed that test this time. They failed the first one, had to retake it again, which is so annoying, and they passed it. I can tell you they passed, especially Peter, I can tell you they passed it because two chapters after, something very interesting is there. Something so interesting is there. But realize that when they walked into the boat again and the wind died, the verse 32, look at what they did. Let's not forget that in the first part, they left the test with questions, which God does not intend for us to leave the test with questions. Look at what they did in verse 32. He says that, then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. Listen to it very carefully. It was in the storm or the test that they got to know that, yes, he is truly the Son of God. Jesus Christ wanted them to know that in the first test, that yes, he is the Son of God, and when he speaks, things calm down. But they rather left the place with a question that, who is this man? So they asked themselves a question, and now they answered it themselves, that truly, you are the Son of God. And believe you me, they left with this answer. Look at two chapters afterwards. In the chapter 16, it is there that Jesus Christ, asks them, who do men say I am? Look at the interesting thing. So in chapter 8, they ask themselves, who is this man who speaks and the wind obey? In chapter 14, they now answer, truly, you are the Son of God. In chapter 16, two chapters after chapter 14, Jesus Christ asks them that, who do men say I am? Then they respond, some say you are Elijah, some say you are Jeremiah, some say you are John the Baptist. And now he asks them, who do you say I am? And Peter, you remember Peter, the gentleman that walked on water with, he responded that, you are the Son of the living God. You are the Messiah. And I can just tell you that Peter was just waiting for this question because he's waited all his life for this question. He wrote a first test. He left with questions. The second test, he was able to get his answer. And now you want to test me again? Bring it on, Jesus Christ. So they had to go through the storm in order for them to get the answer they were looking for. So this answer that Peter gave, he didn't just give it out of space, but he got it through experience. Listen, the long and short of this whole series is that stretch marks are your experience marks. There is no stretching until there is tension. So listen, when you ever feel like God is stretching you, just know that there is tension there. Your stretch marks are your experience marks. The normal stretch marks we know, that stretch marks are normally very evident when our ladies are pregnant. You see that especially on their belly, around their breast, when they are adding up, there is the opening of the skin. It means that the tension of the skin is opened. Listen, the stretch mark, when you see someone having stretch marks on their belly after giving birth to 3 kids, 4 kids, that is their experience mark. So their response in chapter 16 that you are truly the Son of Man, it wasn't just by accident. It was they showing Jesus Christ their stretch marks that I have gone through the stretch, I have gone through the test, and this is my response. This is my mark that yes, I have really gone through the test. Listen, in order for you to go through the test, God wants you to come out with a mark of experience, a mark that will let everyone that sees you know that yes, you have really gone through tests, you have really gone through trials. But you need to do the three things. You need to find God in the storm. You need to be able to talk to him in the storm. And you need to be able to walk in him with the storm. Listen, I'm going to give you one last bonus point. Okay. You'd realize that they got to know this answers through a storm. My bonus point to you is that you don't always have to be in a storm as long as you remember the storm. You don't always have to be. So Peter's response in chapter 16 tells us that Peter, when he responded that you are the Son of God, it was a confirmation of what he had already said in chapter 14. They were not in a storm this time. They were on the ground. They were on bare land. After eating, Jesus Christ just asked them a question. He didn't have to be in a storm for him to confirm the answer, no. But he took the storm with him, the experience, the mark from the stretching, the mark from the test. He took it with him all his life. And now when Jesus Christ popped the question, he was like, oh my God, I have stretch marks to show you. I have marks to show you that I have been stretched. You are truly the Son of God. I repeated again that God is stretching you. And you don't need to stretch anything that does not have tension. When Jesus Christ was stretching their faith, when he was stretching their experience, it was to tell them that there is more to them and that they really need the marks. They experienced Jesus Christ firsthand. No one could ever convince Peter that he was not the Son of God, that Jesus Christ was not the Son of God. No, because he experienced the markings firsthand. He experienced Jesus Christ firsthand. Listen, I just came to tell you the long and short of my presentation today is that the stretchings you are going in, it is just to tell you that there is tension there. And tension simply means that there is more room for you to improve. There is more room for you to do better. There is more room for you to do best. The stretch marks you have right now are the experiences you have. They are your experience mark. That is why when people come to you for advice, when people come to you for your thoughts and your remarks, you know what to tell them because you have really gone through it. So those are your stretch marks. Listen, don't be ashamed of your stretch marks. Your stretch marks are your experience marks. There is no way Peter is ever going to hide his experience, his markings from the storm. That is a stretch. There is no way. Do not hide your stretch marks. Your stretch marks are your experience marks. I just hope that God through this message will speak to you with these two presentations, these two passages that have combined to make sense, these three ones actually, that they will make sense to you. I pray for you that as you are going through the storm, some of us are currently in storms, as you go through the storm, you would come up and come out and turn out well. That you not just come out with regrets, but you come out with marks that shows that you have really gone through it and you are now victorious. I pray for you that as you go through your storm, you would be able to find God, you'd be able to talk to God, and you would be able to walk with God in a storm. I really hope this presentation and this episode of Stretch Marks was a blessing to you. If it really did help you, please share it with someone else. My name is Samuel Ntiwi. I would entreat all of you to follow our Instagram page and ask God this and that podcast. Thank you very much. We'll meet next week with a part two of this episode. Next week, God willing, I have a big announcement to make in this series called Stretch Marks. This and that podcast, we are stretching and we are going to show you the marks for it. So meet you next week. I have a big announcement for you and you don't want to miss out. Thank you very much for listening and God richly bless you. I sign out. Bye.